appreciate the Lord letting us come. It's good to be back at Westside Baptist Church. Tell folk when I come here, I feel like I'm at home. And I appreciate that. And it's still good to see folk here worshiping God. It was here worshiping God when I was here. And that's a blessing from the Lord. And I hope you don't take it for granted. Thank God for His grace and goodness. Trust the Lord to move today. I appreciate what God has done thus far. Appreciate the good spirit. Appreciate the young folks singing. That's a blessing. And if that didn't bless you, there's a problem somewhere. Because it wasn't with singing. Amen. Thank the Lord for it. Appreciate some young folk that'll do something for the Lord. Appreciate the church to get behind them. And encourage them likewise. I encourage you, go with us this morning, please, in the book of 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings 19 this morning. You pray for us, the Lord would help us, that we might do the will of God. 1 Kings 19, it is familiar text. As you're turning, of course, we understand that we'll be dealing with a man this morning by the name of Elijah. He's the Tishbite from the inhabitants of Gilead. He was God's man. He was a mighty prophet, I want to say, in both word and also in deed. And I appreciate that. I want to say he was a man that was acquainted with God. He's not someone friend who stood merely on the sideline, but he was a man in whom God used greatly. He was a man that learned to trust God down by the brook and saw God do miraculous things. He was a man, a friend that spent time in the widow's house there in Zarephath and saw God take a little and do a whole lot with it. Praise God. And so I'm just simply saying he's a man, friend that is acquainted with God. He's a man that trusted the Lord and prayed, and the God of heaven sent rain, thank God, refreshed the land, and praise God, brought about a great miracle in the days of Elijah. I want to say something, friend. He was a man. He was not, friend, a supernatural man. But he was a man. He was a man who had ups and downs in his life like we have in our lives. I mean, it's seemingly one day I'm on top of Mount Carmel. The next day I'm underneath a juniper tree somewhere in a wilderness. But the Bible tells us here in verse 1, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. Well, I'm glad he had something to tell, amen, about somebody that would do something for God. And the Bible said, with all how he'd slain the prophets with a sword. And then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as a life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And so, friend, the message has gone out here. And when he saw that, he arose, speaking about Elijah, and went for his life. Be careful now, friend, not to cast rocks at the man of God. Many times we'll see things in the scripture and we'll say, I never would have done it that way. But the truth of the matter is, I'd have probably done worse than what he did. And the Bible said he came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. I do want to say, please be careful, friend. When things happen in your life, that you don't separate yourself from those who love you and serve God with you. It seems like sometimes when problems come, we want to separate ourselves from the very ones, friend, who love us and stand by our side. And so the Bible goes on to tell us he went a day's journey in the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree and requested of himself that he might die, and said, it is enough. And you can get to that place where you say it is enough. If you've never been there, then pray that God give you grace when you get there. I believe that all of God's children get to this place maybe more than one time in their Christian walk and in their Christian life. And the Bible said he lay and slept under the juniper tree, and behold, thank God for this, an angel of the Lord touched him and said to him, arise and eat. Praise God for that. And the Bible said he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water in his hand, and he'd eat and drink and laid him down again. I mean, this man is weary, hey friend, from the journey. And so even, friend, after God's blessed and helped him, he's went asleep on God again. And the angel of the Lord came a second time and touched him and
said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. Now, as I look at this man whose very name means my God is Jehovah, I see this man running. I see the running of Elijah. This man has gone for his life. A death threat has come against him, and his faith has gone weak sometimes in our life. Our faith is overcome with our fear. And so this man's gone for his life. And he's made it, friend, into the wilderness, a day's journey by himself. And he's requested now that he might die, not live. I mean, here is a man, friend, that's requesting of God that God might take his very life. And he said, for it is enough. Here's a man, friend, that's overwrought and overwhelmed. But I'm reminded what the psalmist said. When I am overwhelmed, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. You know what the psalmist is saying? When I can't see it, when I can't find it, praise God, take me by the hand and lead me there. I'm glad we serve a God who do just that for me and you. And so we see here the request of Elijah. But then I see the reminding of Elijah. God is wanting to remind this man of some things. Praise God for that. Well, I appreciate the Lord, don't you? I mean, here the Lord is merciful. Praise God, he's an angel. Thank God with mercy. Amen. Aren't that glad? And the Bible said he slept, but the angel of the Lord touched him. Praise God. I appreciate that. The Bible tells us he didn't kick him. He didn't hit him. He didn't throw a rock at him, but he touched him. I believe it speaks of tenderness and love and compassion. Hey, friend, when we moved away from God, God's still moving toward us. Thank God. When we failed him, God in love and compassion and tenderness comes to where we are. And I appreciate that. Oh, yes. And the Bible said he touched him and he said, rise and eat. Amen. And so he did these things. Praise God. This man arises. Now understand this, friend. Elijah's not really aware of what God's doing. The problem a lot of times is we're not really aware of what God is doing. As a matter of fact, a lot of times we're like this man. Spiritually, we're in a state of slumber. Amen. And when men are asleep, they're unaware of what's taking place round about them. And so the Bible said he looked, he saw these things. He partook them and laid down again and went back to sleep. But God is not done. Sometimes when we feel like we're done, God is not done. And I'm glad for that. And so the Bible said a second time, amen, I believe God would have touched him as many times as it took. Amen. But the second time, God came back and touched him again. And the angel said, arise and eat. One more time, thank God, the bread's baked. One more time, the water's full. Amen. And one more time, the man gets up to eat. But the angel said, because the journey is too great for thee. And I believe it's right. A lot of times, friend, we fail to realize it. Friend, this is a great journey that God's put us on. And what's happening a lot of times is that we're trying, hey, friend, to go this journey by ourselves. But I don't believe that God ever intended for us to undergo this great journey, hey, friend, by ourselves. The same God that saved us is the same God that helps us and leads us along on this journey. The Bible still declares that the Lord is my shepherd. And the shepherd, praise the Lord, leads the sheep. When we get in trouble, friend, it's when we try to get ahead of the shepherd. Or we turn aside from the shepherd. But God will lead his people. But what's drawing my attention now is in verse 5 and verse 7 where the Bible said, and touched him. And if God would help for a few moments, friend, I'd like to preach on this along these lines on he touched me. I believe if there's one thing we need in this hour, it's for God to touch us one more time. I tell you, friend, it's been a long time since some people have been touched by God. And they remember a time when God touched them and helped them. Hey, friend, I need God to touch me again. Hey, and friend, yesterday's touch will not do for today. I need God's touch today. I believe there's some reasons in the Scripture that we need God to touch us again. First of all, I want to say because of the difficulties. Now, here in the Scripture, the Bible said that Ahab and Jezebel, hey, friend, came against the man of God. And Jezebel sent messengers to Elijah saying, let the gods do so unto me also, if I make not thy life as one of their lives by this time tomorrow. And so Elijah faced difficulties. Now, this was not the first time that he faced difficulties. But sometimes when after we faced them and we faced them and we faced them, it seemed like then comes that difficulty, hey, that seems to get the best of us. I mean, we've stood on the battlefield for God and we pressed toward the mark. But then comes that time, friend, when difficulty comes and it overwhelms us and overcomes overcomes us. That's why we need God's touch. There are some things in this life, the only way we're going to get past it is for God to touch us. Amen. I mean, a lot of times we're trying so much ourselves to do it ourselves. This man felt like he was the only one. Be careful tonight. Be careful this morning, because you're not the only one. I mean, he felt like he was the only one. As a matter of fact, he had already previously testified to this great truth in chapter number 18 before he prayed the fire of God down from heaven. He said, I, only I. And you got to be careful about that. But difficulties come. Other words, things, hey, friend, that are very hard to do. And sometimes I find it hard in the way.
That's right.
Amen. No need in, friend, trying to sugarcoat it. Sometimes it's hard in the way. And see, we become very professional when we walk through the back doors there. Hey, friend, of making people think that we're on the mountaintop praying and the rains are falling. But the fact of the matter is, we face difficulties in the way. And difficulties, friend, cause us many times to go away from God. I wish it wasn't so, but it is. I mean, think about this. Hey, friend, Ahab is against him. Hey, friend, that's a type of corrupt government. Jezebel is against him. That's a type of corrupt religious system. I mean, no different than our day than his day. Our government's against us. The religious system is against us. And we find it difficult in these days to live for God. Oh, sure it is. I mean, we never thought we'd see what we're seeing today. Amen. Never thought that. It's becoming difficult. And so, friend, we need God to touch us because of difficulties. When's the last time, friend, you felt God touch you? Amen. I'm talking about way down on the inside, and praise God, take you from a place of defeat to victory. And so we need God to touch us because of difficulties, but we need God to touch us because of disappointments. And oftentimes, difficulties lead to disappointments. Amen. Now think about this. Here the man of God is for 3.5 years. God has hid him away. For 3.5 years, he's walked with God. For 3.5 years, he's believed God. For 3.5 years, he has not questioned God. When God said, go to the brook, he went to the brook. When God said, go to Zarephath, he went to Zarephath. And when God said, go and pray on the side of the mountain, he went and prayed on the side of the mountain. I mean, this man, friend, was strong for God and bold for God. He mocked the prophets of Baal. He said, maybe you need to cry a little louder. Maybe you need to wake your God up. Amen. Here's a man, friend, that had so much confidence in God that when the sacrifice was laid in place, 3 times they poured water upon the sacrifice until it filled the trench round about. I'm talking about a man that had faith. Here's a man, after he had slain the prophets of Baal, the fire of God fell, and the people of God said, the Lord is God, went to the top of Carmel. And when he prayed and sent the servant, and the servant came and said, there is nothing. Amen. You ever been there when there is nothing? Amen. You know what this man of God said? Go again 7 times. And so here's a man, hey friend, that's God's man. But yet difficulties have come against him, and they have caused disappointments, I believe with all my heart. What's happened here is, he finally thought that God's people is going to make a turn. But I'm going to tell you something. I can't make God's people make a turn. Only God can. That's the truth. Sometimes men weary themselves trying to make people do what only God can make them do. And I mean, when they shouted the Lord, he is God. I believe this man felt like, praise God, we're going to have a national revival. These people are going to turn back to God. It's going to be like it ought to be, praise the Lord. Hey, but the next day, friend, where's the people of God standing with the man of God? Where's that crowd that said, the Lord, he is God? Amen. So the message comes, and he's disappointed. I'm going to tell you something. A lot of times we get disappointed. Amen. You know why? Because we have expectations. And to disappoint means to fail to meet those expectations. And I don't know about you, but I'm bad about setting expectations, and I can see it. Well, I feel like, boy, today's the day, or this is the week, or this is the year. And I mean, it's almost like I can reach out and touch it, and about the time I'm going to put my hand upon it, it's taken away, and I stand in just a place of disappointment.
Yes, sir.
A lot of folk are there. Some people live there. Some people live in a state of disappointment.
Yes.
But what you've got to understand is, it's not my way, it's God's way.
Amen.
It's not my will, it's God's will.
Right.
It's not my time, it's God's time. I mean, here we are, friend. Listen, in this year, a lot of things have changed, but understand this. Hey, God's the same God that God has always been. See, God works according to His timetable. He knows what's best. That's why, brother, when they came to Lazarus, came about Lazarus to the Lord, he tarried yet 2 more days. 4 days had passed by, but the Lord said, I'm glad for your sakes. He said, in other words, you would have thought it would have been better to go, but I thought it was better to stay. Why? Because God's going to get glorified by it. But see, they were disappointed. Mary was disappointed. Martha was disappointed. Others were disappointed. Amen. A lot of times it causes us to say things like if you'd have been here, this would not have happened. You ever done that to the Lord? Amen. I raised my hand. Amen. I've done that, Lord, if you'd have been here. Well, I understand that. But God has a plan. God has a purpose. See, Zacharias, when he married Elizabeth, I can see him as a young married couple. Boy, they're excited, that new love and that fresh love. And I tell you what, you know what they want, Brother King? They want a baby boy. Yeah. Praise God. Yeah. But time passes and there's nothing. Yeah. And time passes and there's nothing. Right. Now he's an old man, white hairs in his head. And physically, friend, he's past that time. And Elizabeth is past that time. But they hadn't passed God's time. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Friend, when we pass our time, we're not past God's time. Yeah. Oh yeah, thank God for that. And see, God knew at the right time because it wasn't time for John to be born. Hey, friend, years and years, it was that time, amen. See, God knows what He's doing. God has a time, but sometimes disappointments. Hey, friend, calls us to get in the juniper tree. We need God to touch us. Well, I like that. I need that. Because I'll be honest, friend, it seemed like I'm more apt to get under the juniper tree than on the mountaintop. And I need God to help me. And so we see the scripture here. Now thought about this. Now here this man is. We need God to touch us because of despair. That's different than disappointment. See, a lot of times we get disappointed, but we sort of shake it off and learn to go on. But when despair comes, that's another thing. Hey, man, and I'm going to tell you what, if it can happen to him, I know it can happen to me. See, despair means to be in a place where you've lost all hope. Amen. That's what despair is. There's a lot of people that have lost all hope. I mean, they've lived for God and they've served God faithfully. And friend, they've been here when others have not, but they find themselves in a place of despair. That's a tough place to be in. That's a tough place. And when people get to that place, friend, they just give up. I mean, listen, you think about Acts chapter 28 there. Think about this. Paul is on that ship going to Rome. He told them not to go, but they did go. Right. But if I understand the scripture correctly, the Bible said, we, use the word we, it was all inclusive. Yeah. Hey man, you know what everybody did on that boat? They gave up hope. You know what everybody did on that boat? They threw things overboard. They did all they could, and when they felt like there was no hope, they pretty much gave up. Amen. But I'm glad when we give up, God hadn't give up. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Hey man, I mean, something got to stir in the man of God's heart. I don't know why I hadn't done it before, and I'm not going to question God. But somewhere in the midst of that blackness and that darkness, Paul makes his way down to the bottom of the ship. I can see him holding on and feeling his way until he gets a hold of something, friend, and starts to pray. Then God begins to move. But I'm saying people are in a place of despair. You might be surprised who's there. There's a lot of preachers get there. Go home, and they may not say it with their mouth, but in their heart, they said, I'm done with it. There's a lot of preachers' wives. Hey, friend, they will leave and never come back. Hey, man, you know why? Because it's real. Amen. Sometimes the difficulties are real, and the difficulties lead to disappointments, and disappointments lead to a place of despair. And this man of God said, I just said, you take my life. Amen. I'm tired of living. There's a lot of people that way. Amen. They've learned to come in and smile on Sunday morning, but if you could see them driving home on Sunday afternoon, it'd be a different story than a place of despair. But I tell you what they need, friend. They need God to touch them. Yeah. See, they've tried everything they know to try. They've called everybody they know to call. They've done everything they know to do. But they've not talked to the one, friend, that can change their circumstance and situation. I'm just saying, friend, we need God to touch us again. Oh, yes. Hey, I believe it's a matter of life and death. I believe the touch is a matter of life and death. Hey, friend, that's the difference in the church. If God don't touch our churches, it's gone. Hey, man, if God don't touch the man of God, it's over. If God don't touch God's people, it's over, amen. We need God to touch us.
us. Amen. But I believe God's aware. I believe God's aware. See, Elijah's running. He's a give up. He said, I am. He should just complain to the Lord. He's not the only one. He said, I just seem to die to live. Am I better than my fathers? Amen. When he said that, he's laid down. He's went to sleep. In his heart, it's over. Yeah. Amen. There's been times, Brother Hyatt, in my life, and I'm not proud of it, I throw the towel in. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And God went over and picked it up. Praise God, and threw it back. Right. Aren't you glad for that? There's been times I've come home. I've not told my wife. I've not told my children. I've not told the church. Hey, friend, but in my heart, I've just put it all in. The Spirit overcome me. Yep. Oh, yes. And I wonder, Lord, how can I go again? Lord, how can I go again? Yep. Oh, but I appreciate God. Yep. Sometime, praise God, in the wee hours, thank the Lord. Yep. There's somebody there that I was not aware. So you got to understand. You got to understand, friend. Elijah was not aware of where God was. He fell asleep. And I believe this. I believe God was there a long time before Elijah was aware of it. As a matter of fact, I mean, I don't claim that I know a whole lot. But I tell you what, Brother Keith, if we're going to get some coals, we're going to have to let the wood burn a while. Yeah. Now, boy, I can see God begin to move in there. The angel comes down and praise God. He gets the kindling together and he starts to light that fire. And he's done put some wood on the fire and the fire's got up a little high. Praise God. Now it's burning down. See, it's hard to cook, friend, on the fire, but you can cook on the coals. Amen. And friend, the angel's there. He's already prepared the bread. He's baked it. Amen. The Bible said that he did. He's gone down to the spring. Praise God. Filled a water bottle up that Elijah didn't have. Hey, friend, it ain't what you've got. It's what God's got. Amen. Amen. Oh, yeah, here he is. I mean, this man's in a place of despair. I'll tell you something else, friend. He's in a place of darkness. You say, why do you say that? Because he's went all day. He's gone a day's journey. He's tired. And the sun's a setting. He's issued his complaint. And he's laid down. And darkness is coming to camp. Hey, man, do we not live in a dark time? I mean, it's a dark time, brother. Amen. Darkness is creeping toward the church. We live in a dark hour. I mean, I promise you it is. I mean, there's things going on now. Hey, friend, my daddy, when he was a boy, he never would have believed it would have happened. Would have never believed it would have happened. But we're living in a dark time. Amen. Right. Yeah. People get in a place of despair because of it.
That's right.
Amen. I mean, friend, a lot of churches instead of having revival seem like they're going the other way. Hey, man, folks that used to live for God wouldn't come to church. It gets discouraging. Get in a place of despair. You wonder, is it even worth it? Is it even worth it? You got to be careful. You got to be careful. Now darkness is coming. And really, friend, darkness is just absence of light. I mean, I know that's not real deep, but there's a lot of truth in that. It's just the absence of light is all it is. And I tell you what the devil's trying to do. He's trying to put the light out. And he'll do that. That's why, friend, you folk in this place, pray that man of God, that God keep the light on. Amen. But I tell you what the devil like to do. He'll like to snuff it out. Oh, yeah. He'll like to do that to this church. Amen. You say, what can I do? Praise God, put another log on the fire. Praise God. See, when no wood is there, the fire goeth out. Praise God. You know what you knew on Sunday mornings? Praise God. Come put a log on the fire. Amen. Like when them young folk were singing and you're saying praise God and waving your hand. You're putting another log on the fire. Hey, friend, you've got a responsibility. Praise God to do your part. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Somebody might be in darkness and despair. And you might come in, praise God, and put a log on the fire. And that affect them. Amen. Well, that's right. See, we take for granted sometimes, hey friend, just what we can do for God. Amen. It's important. I believe God can use one to change it all.
That's right.
Amen. I got scripture for that. Amen. But I believe we need God's touch because of the darkness. Here it is. I mean, it's a dark time. And I can see the man of God, he's laid down. Amen. In the darkness, praise God, the Lord comes by, starts a little fire. Praise God for that. Amen.
Yeah.
Well, I want God to start a little fire.
Yeah.
Amen. I need that. See, a lot of times we got to be careful about living in the past.
Yes, sir.
I mean, thank God for the past.
Yeah.
Thank God for past memories.
Yeah.
We got to be careful about living in the past.
Right.
Amen. And a lot of times we talk about things that used to be and used to be. We say things like, boy, I remember when I used to stand and testify and the tears rolled down my face. I couldn't hardly get it told. Hey, what about right now? Amen.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember when I used to get in the choir and I couldn't wait to get there. Hey, friend, what about right now?
I had a woman come by the church one time. She was just visiting. She come by the church, and the Lord helped us that morning. She came to me, Brother Hyde. She talked to me, and she said, "Preacher, pray for me." She said, I remember a time when I couldn't wait to get to the house of God. She said, on Wednesday night, I'd get off of work. I didn't have time to eat supper. She said, I'd grab me a Pepsi and a pack of Nabs, and I'd go as hard as I could to God's house. I couldn't wait to be there. She said, but now I'm not even in the house of God. I'm telling you what's happened, friend. Despair's overcome her. Hey, man, I tell you, you got to be careful about that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know what she needed? God just to touch her. Hey, man. God to touch her. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I believe it's a good thing to be in a place where God can touch you. But I'm glad, friend, when I'm not in that place, God can touch me anyway.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God for that. I believe this is a good place for God to touch your heart. Hey, man, but I'm glad that God can touch you if you're not in this place. Praise God for that. Hey, man. Elijah didn't ask for God's touch, but God touched him anyway. Boy, I appreciate God, don't you? I appreciate God. I mean, here he comes by. Here's how we are a lot of times. We'll do something for somebody. And if they don't respond to us right, we just won't do nothing else for them. You will say something like this. Well, didn't you say thank you?
Yeah.
Hey, man, best I can tell, the man of God never said thank you. He looked up. He saw the bread. He consumed it. He consumed the water. Laid right back down the presence of the angel. Went back to sleep. Hey, man. A lot of us, boy, we'd have got upset about that. But this man just needs God to touch him again. Because sometimes, friend, it's going to take more than just one touch. Amen. How many times has God touched us? Oh, I appreciate God. Oh, I can see the Lord. I can see God, His mercy. It's all mercy anyway, friend. It's all God's mercy! Oh, I can see the angel. Praise God. Just begin to stoke him coals. Amen. Build that fire back up. And while the fires are burning, praise God, he's over there kneading the dough. Praise God for that. Amen. Listen, I guess he bought his own low pan. I don't know. Elijah didn't have it. Praise God. And the man of God is asleep with the angels. Hardy work. Amen. Aren't you glad while we're asleep, God is not asleep? Aren't you glad when we're inactive, God is still active? Aren't you glad when we're not aware, God is aware? Amen. Aren't you glad when we're not looking for God, God's still looking at us? Oh, yes. Boy, I appreciate that. Well, he waits for the right time. Praise God, the bread's baked. Coals are burnt down. Fire's burnt down. He's been back to the spring. Boy, that's goodness of God Almighty. Amen. He looks over there. I mean, boy, sometimes it's easy to get aggravated. But I said before, he didn't go over and kick him. Amen. I said, why don't you get up? Amen. See, a lot of times we won't do that. But God didn't do that. The angel just went over there. I can see him. See, he had to get down because he's on. He got down and said, please God, wake up. Isn't that good? Just wake up. Amen. Somebody said, how many times did he shake him? Shook him till he got up. Amen. He just kept touching him. Amen. Till he responded. Boy, I like that. Praise God for that. So we need God to touch us.
Yes.
Amen. The Bible said in verse 7, and the Lord came again. The angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him. Amen. Touched him. That word touch gives the idea of to come in close contact with. Isn't that good? To come. Amen. Boy, I tell you what, friend. That close contact, that's what it's all about.
Right.
Amen. See, and I'm going to tell you something. God initiated this.
Amen.
And I believe God is an initiator. Thank God. If it hadn't been for God, I wouldn't have been saved. God initiated that. Amen.
Yeah.
God initiated the fellowship. It's God that comes by to touch me.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate that.
Amen.
Oh, I appreciate the Lord. See, we need God's help. We need God's touch.
Yeah.
Amen. And I tell you what, we are long for. See, a lot of folks just been so long since they've had it, they don't think they can get it anymore.
Right.
But I believe God wants to touch.
Yeah,
amen. Boy, we need that touch. Praise God to give us some joy back in our heart.
Yeah.
Amen. Pray to give us some zeal. Praise God back in our service.
Yeah.
That's what we need, thank God.
Yeah.
I mean, we need that. Amen.
Yeah.
That's what's going to make the difference. God to touch us.
Yeah. Yeah.
I tell you what, He's willing to touch. Amen. You remember that leper? Matthew chapter number 8. Jesus comes down off the mountain. There was a leper there that said, Lord, if Thou will, Thou canst make me clean. Isn't that good? If Thou will, Thou canst make me clean. Now what he was saying was, Lord, I know You can, but it's up to You. Whatever You want to do. And really what he was saying was, I'm going to submit myself to You and Your Lordship, and You do what You want to because You're God. And whatever You do, it's going to be right. But you know what the Bible said about Jesus? He reached out and He touched him.
Amen.
Praise God for that. Now I'm going to tell you what, when he did, and friend, it changed. I'll tell you what's going to change you, friend. It's not what you can do, but it's God's touch. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, yes. We've got to have it.
I mean, about habit. I'll tell you why we need God's touch. Because of the distance. You know what he said in verse 7? Because the journey is too great for they. See, when you got born again, God put you on a journey. You know what? You know what the problem with God's people is a lot of times? They're getting off the path. Hey, man, they're wanting to go their own path. God said, I want you to go this way, but they're all the time stepping out of the path. Now, I'm going to tell you something else, friend. If you step out of the path right here, you can't get on the path up there. You do understand that, don't you? Well, they said, hey, man, hey, listen, you can go over a few pages in the scripture and you'll find out where the axe head went in is where the axe head got found, amen.
Yes,
isn't that right? But because of the distance. See, what Elijah didn't know was God's got him on a journey. He's going to Horeb, the mountain of God. Hey, man, and you know what he's saying? You can't make it by yourself, son.
Right.
You can't get there by yourself.
Right.
You got to have my touch.
Yes.
You got to have me. I tell you what, friend, I'm on a journey. When God birthed me in the family of God,
amen,
I got on a journey. Now, I don't know what I'm going to have to face in this journey. I just know where it ends up.
Hey,
man, thank God that's what motivates me, praise God, to stay on the journey. Hey, where's it going to end up? It put Elijah at Mount Horeb. But praise God, I'm going to heaven, amen. That's where my journey's going to end up. Praise God. You said, have you ever been there? No, but I'm not depending on myself to get there. God's going to take me there. Oh, yes, personally. Praise God. Do you realize, friend, that we're closer now than what we've ever been? One of these days a trumpet is going to sound. Praise the Lord for that. And we're going to know who it is. And the Bible said the dead in Christ are going to rise up first. Then we watch our life and remain should be caught up together, thank God, to meet Him in the clouds of the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. I'll tell you what He's going to do, Brother Robert. Thank God He's going to take us home. I've got a temporary dwelling place on Sweetwood Lane. I thank God for it. But brother, keep my real homes on high. I've never seen it, but I already know, praise God, I'm going to love it when I see it, thank God. The reason I'm going to love it is because Jesus prepared it for me. Praise God for that. I appreciate God, but we need His touch because of the distance.
Yeah.
I don't know how far it's going to be. I used to say stuff like this, I'm going to live to be 100.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know that, Brother Hyde. And after this year, I was reminded of how fragile life really is.
Yes, sir.
That's right. When you lay around the hospital, the doctor comes by and says, well, we don't know what happened.
Yeah.
We don't know what to do. And it can be fatal. Hey, man, that's not the most encouraging words that you like to hear the doctor say.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you something, friend. God put me on a journey. That's up to God Almighty. Amen. I know where it's going to end up at. I need God to help me to run this race with patience that God's given me. Oh, yeah. I don't want to kick out of the way. I don't want to kick out of the way. You know why? Because there's something coming behind me.
That's right.
Hey, man, I mean, listen. What would it have been like in Israel if Elijah just would have quit? Hey, man, what would it have been like? What would it be like here? See, you don't know, tell you what, friend, a lot of times you're more important than what you think you are.
Right.
I believe that's right.
Right.
Hey, man, I tell you what, all these young boys in here, praise God, when they see you sitting on this front row up here, I want to promise you that encourages them.
Right.
You better believe that. Hey, man, you better believe that. That's why it's so important. Praise God, stay on course, amen.
Yeah.
But the distance is great. And you know what I found out? If I start running, when I first start, praise God, I feel like I can run forever.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
But something happens a little ways down the road.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
I start getting weary. Hey, man, and I quit running and start walking.
Yeah.
And sometimes I just stop. Yeah. Hey, man. And about the, I remember when I was doing a little bit of running years ago, and I'd get so weary, I'd just be walking up the road, and then I'd hear a car coming. You know what I'd do? What a lot of people do in church.
Yeah.
Well, I'd take off running.
Yeah.
Hey, man, that car would leave, and then I'd stop. Hey, man, start walking again. That's where a lot of Baptists are at. They're running, hey, friend, when they think somebody's looking.
Amen.
But they forgot, friend, God's always looking.
Amen.
Amen. Isn't that right? Hey, it's a great distance. How are you going to make it? God give you strength to do it.
Amen.
Now, I'll tell you something. This man ate two meals that God gave him. Amen. And went in the strength of that meat 40 days.
Right.
I'll tell you what God will do, friend, on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Praise God, He's got the bread baking. And the man of God's going to get up and serve the bread. Hey, you know what the disciples did? They got the bread from Jesus and gave it to the multitude.
Yeah.
Am I right? They didn't bake the bread. The Lord did. Amen. Hey, friend, it gave them strength. I'm saying, hey, God will help you. Because it's a long ways between here and there. Sure is. Somebody said, how far is heaven? I don't know. It's a long ways. It's a long ways, praise God. Hey, man, I got a course to run. Sometimes I get tired. Sometimes I get weary. And sometimes it gets tough. I mean, listen, you know, I like to think I live a no stress life. Hey man, that's sort of funny. Hey man, no stress life. And I don't really worry about a lot of things. I used to a little bit, and the Lord's just helped me, and I don't mean to be nonchalant about it, but the fact of the matter is it's in God's hands, and if God don't do it, it ain't going to get done. Amen. And the Lord's helped me with that a little bit, but still sometimes it gets tough, and still sometimes, Brother Hyde, I'm ashamed of myself. I've been going down the road, and I'm issuing my complaint to God.
Yep.
But God's been so good sometimes. Brother Keith, I've been driving down the road. God come in and touch me.
That's right.
And I was supposed to have got off at exit 174. But praise God, I ended up way on down the highway somewhere. God's a touching me. And I was begging God to forgive me.
Yep.
Amen, for complaining. Hey, listen, friend, it's important. But people get tired. That's why we need God's touch. You can't make it on yourself. You're going to have God to touch you.
That's right.
Amen. See, what's happened is difficulties come, disappointments come. You know what the devil will do? That problem may be real small. He's got a magnifying glass about this big around. And he put it right over top of it. And you'll say, look how big it is.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
What you need to do, friend, is take your eyes off of that and put them up there.
That's right.
The Bible said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith.
Right.
Amen. Let God encourage your heart and touch you. We need God to touch us, friend. We need God to touch us in the inner man. God to help us and give us strength.
Right.
Amen. Boy, I tell you, it's important. Because, friend, the way is long. Sometimes it gets wearisome. The sun ain't always shining. Ain't always uphill. Amen. God will help you, friend. God will level it out for you sometimes. Hang in there. Hang in there with God.
Sure.
And the Bible said, and he touched him. Amen. And he touched him. Praise God for that.
Amen.
I'll tell you what, friend, we got to have that touch.
Yeah.
We need God to touch us. Amen.
Yeah.
He can. He wants to. Thank God we got to have, it's a matter, I believe it's a matter of life and death. Had God not touched him, he'd have never went back. But when God touched him and got him to the mountain, got him all straightened out. Amen. Things change for this man. Amen. Then the next time problems come, amen, and they came to take his life, and the soldiers came, he stood up on top of the hill and said, well, if I be a man of God, let's just let fire come down from heaven. Amen. He wasn't a bit worried about it. I'm going to tell you what, friend, when God touches us, it helps us not to worry. And I promise you this, if you're wringing your hands, amen, and pacing the floor, amen, what you need, praise God, is God's touch. Amen, because if God touches, you can be like Simon Peter. You can lay shackled between the guards in such a deep sleep that the angel has shaken. Isn't that right? That's what I'm talking about. We need God to touch us. God can. I don't believe God's a respecter of persons. I believe God loved this man, but I believe God loves us. And I believe what God did for this man, God will do for you. Amen. And I wonder, friend, you want God to touch you. You need God's touch. We need God's help today. Oh, my soul. He touched him. He touched him the second time. How long has it been? He said, God's touched you. But you come on this morning, brother.